All right, next thing we're going to talk about is sulfonamides. Anyone here ever have Septra or Bactrim? No? 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 All right, anyone here ever have a UTI? Chances are you were treated with Bactrim or Septrum, which is a sulfonamide plus trimethoprim. All right, now, sulfonamides, contrary to popular belief, were the first antibiotics discovered. You probably thought it was penicillin, didn't you? But you'd be wrong. Sulfonamides were discovered quite a long time earlier, but they don't work quite as well. It was penicillin that caused the revolution. They are structurally similar to PABA. PABA is necessary to make folic acid. If you can't make folic acid, bacteria dies. Now, sulfonamides inhibit bacterial synthesis of folic acid by competing with regular PABA. They're broad spectrum, but resistance is very common because they've been used for so long. And the way that they become resistant is the bacteria can increase the synthesis of PABA, which makes it more likely for the PABA to work, and blah, 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 blah. Okay. I'm happy we had that talk. Therapeutic use has declined because of two reasons. One is resistance. What's the other one? Toxicity. Sulfonamides are nasty, nasty drugs. They cause a lot of side effects. And there's a lot of allergies to them. So the main thing we're going to use them for nowadays is UTI. And it's one specific one, not all of them, just one. So that's the only one I want you to remember. The kinetics, they're absorbed well PO, they distribute to all tissues, and metabolize in the liver and excreted by the liver. Blah, 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 blah. Now, Stevens-Johnson syndrome. This is a type 3 hypersensitivity reaction. What does that mean, type 3? Okay, it's bad. Sagan? Well, it's an allergy type reaction. Not cell mediated, that would be type 4. No, that would be type 2. You only got two left. All right, who said type 1? Smack yourselves, because we just talked about type 1 yesterday. That's the Hitch type. So that leaves type 3. Yes, type 3. I already said that, didn't I? I don't know why you guys are saying all these numbers then. All right, so type 1 is anaphylactic. Type 2 is cytotoxic. And what does that mean? You're producing antibodies against whatever it is. Type 3 is not cell-mediated. It's immune complex. So your body produces an antibody against it, and then the antibody plus the drug float somewhere else in the body, get lodged there, and cause an immune inflammation there. Now, where it ends up getting caused here in Stevens-Johnson syndrome is in all of the epithelial surfaces of the body. So we're talking about your skin, your eyes, your mouth, your GI tract, the epithelial cells on your bronchi, your epithelial cells in your urethra, all just start falling off. And it's, just like sloughing off. You ever had a really bad sunburn? And you like bubbled up and then like skin just started flaking off? We're talking like that. But everywhere. 25% of the people who get this end up dying. So we don't use these drugs nearly as commonly as we used to. If a patient has a rash while they're on a sulfonamide, you tell them stop, do not pass go, do not collect $200, stop taking it. Do you have a question or are you just...
No,
okay. All right. Now, the other thing is that sulfonamides contain what they call a sulfa group, which is a particular group of sulfur compounds, which is also found in common with thiazide diuretics, loop diuretics, and sulfonylureas, which we'll all talk about later on in the course. So if a patient has reaction to one of those, you might want to not put them on one of these drugs as well. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. All right. These are the only two... I don't remember. So I guess you don't need to know. These are the two drug names that you need to know. Now, sulfamethoxazole is going to be in combination with trimethoprim to become Bactrim or Septra. So I'm probably not going to give you this name by itself. And its abbreviation is SMX. Trimethoprim. We'll talk about that in a second. Now, the other one you need to know is silver sulfadiazine. And it's better known as silvadine. Silvadine is this really awesomely nice feeling, like silky paste. And we use it for patients who typically have burns. So if a patient has a burn, you give them this drug. Now, as it turns out, the sulfadiazine part doesn't actually do anything. It's the silver ions being released into the wound that actually cause the antimicrobial effect. Now, you might have a question somewhere along the lines that asks you, you've got a burn patient, and they've got either symptoms or no symptoms, and they've got a fever or a white blood cell count. Should you give them silver sulfadiazine, or should you give them something else? Well, as long as they're asymptomatic, definitely silver sulfadiazine. But once they're symptomatic, something else. Why is that?
Does silver stop anything else from absorbing?
No. I mean, you can still give them the silver sulfadiazine, but that won't be enough by itself. Because by now, the bugs have actually caused a true infection. So when we give sulfur sulfadiazine, we're preventing infection. Once an infection has occurred, we need to give them something else to actually kill the infection. Does that make sense? Does it make dollars? Yeah, SMZ. All right, trimethoprim. Now, trimethoprim works on the next step in folic acid synthesis. So you've got to make folic acid is a multi-step process. And with the sulfonamide, we stop one step. And then with the trimethoprim, we stop the next step. Putting the two drugs together makes it work better. So when we give sulfamethoxazole in combination with trimethoprim, we get TMP-SMZ, better known as Septra or Bactrim. Now, sometimes you'll see Septra DS. That stands for double strength, which is twice the dose of normal. We use these for two purposes primarily. The first one is UTI. Standard treatment is 3 days of Septra DS BID. We also use it to prevent pneumocystis carinii pneumonia, better known as PCP, in patients who are immunosuppressed. So what kind of patients will be immunosuppressed? Cancer patients? HIV patients? Not organ donors, organ recipients, so transplant patients. Those are the three types of patients who are typically going to be immunosuppressed. And we can use Septra to prevent PCP pneumonia. Well, I guess PCP is the pneumonia. And that is going to typically be Septra DS 3 times a week. All right, next drug class, fluoroquinolones. You will learn to love fluoroquinolones because they're fun drugs. How many of you have ever gone overseas and gotten diarrhea? No. How many of you had Cipro and took it and it stopped your diarrhea? Only one of you was smart. Cipro is a fluoroquinolone, and every traveler overseas should make sure they have some. Heck, make sure you have some here. If you, do you guys? A couple years back, there was a huge outbreak of Clostridium in I think it was Milwaukee. Like the entire town, like all of the anti-diarrheal drugs were gone in the pharmacies because there were so many people. You know, and when you get diarrhea, what are you supposed to do? Drink water, right? So you don't get dehydrated. So guess what happened to them? They got sicker because it was the water that was giving it to them in the first place. Yeah. All right. Anyway.
That's kind of like the E. coli I got last week.
Yeah, kind of like that. All right. Broad spectrum antibiotics. They cause pneumonia, UTI, or we use them for pneumonia, UTIs, sinusitis, skin infections, bone infection, everything. Just everything. Use them for everything. They work by inhibiting bacterial DNA gyrase. Ooh, gyrase. Well, now, what does DNA look like? It's a double-stranded helix. Ooh. So in order for it to reproduce, what do we have to do to that? We have to unwind it and pop it into the two strands, right? Well, if we inhibit this DNA gyrase, can't do that. So it stays double-strand, inactive. So it inhibits the ability of bacteria to grow and reproduce themselves. Adverse effects, GI reactions, dizziness, headache, fatigue, tendon rupture. Only common in young patients and really only common in athletes. So now there's actually a black box warning on the drug insert. When you get a prescription, it'll have this big black, it'll have a warning in a black box that says, warning. This may cause tendon rupture. So your patients might freak out. So generally speaking, it only happens to younger patients and athletes. But you can warn them if they have any tendon pain at all, stop taking it, call their doctor. And don't go running while you're on the drug. It's the Achilles tendon that's most common to rupture there. All right. Important things about fluoroquinolones. Calcium and magnesium and iron pretty much completely bind to them and it doesn't get absorbed. Can't take them with meals. So really the only time a person can take these is like at 12 o'clock at night. So just, I mean, it's difficult to find a good time to give these to a patient PO. Don't give them with milk. Don't give them with antacids, blah, 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 blah. So you're supposed to use 2 hours before eating or 6 hours after eating. 6 hours, it's just nuts. But that's what's recommended. Yeah. So you can only eat once that day. They interact with these two drugs. Who cares? No, because it kills the bacteria causing the diarrhea. All right. The most common ones, there's three here that you need to know. Cipro, or ciprofloxacin, it's the first one we had, but there's the most resistance against it. Levofloxacin, or Levaquin, is more expensive, but there's less resistance to it. And then moxifloxacin is the newest one, and it's the one that's most associated with tendon rupture. Gadifloxacin got taken off the market, so you probably have a slightly older version of the slides. One day I'll hunt down all the old slides and get rid of them. Okay. I'm sorry. Some people don't. I don't see that's a problem. You have too many places where they are. Okay, less resistance. And also, levofloxacin you only take once a day. Cipro you take twice a day. More resistance is not so good. Bacteria are resistant to it. Yeah. So the drug just doesn't work as well because the bacteria are more resistant to it. All right, next one, metronidazole, also known as flagell. By the way, there was just a recent case where a nurse really screwed up, as well, a pharmacist screwed up first, but then the nurse screwed up too. It was a Peds, yes, St. Mary's. Kid didn't end up dying, but did have seizures. So the normal adult dose for flagell is 500 milligrams. But the pediatric dose for this child should have been 100 milligrams. The pharmacist misentered the order, bypassed some of the safety systems, and sent it up to the floor IV. And, IV 500 milligrams is supposed to go in a bag over like half an hour. Now, the way you usually do the ped stuff is because they're such small doses, you usually draw them up in a syringe, and then there's a special syringe pump that you set, and it pushes it in slowly over a certain time. So the first thing is the nurse should have gone, how come this didn't come up in a syringe? How come it's a bag like we give to adults? But she didn't care about that, so she went ahead and hung it according to the directions on the bag, which were wrong, and the kid ended up having a seizure. So I don't know if the nurse is still there, but the pharmacist has been fired. So anyway, you are the final protector, janitor, the final protector of your patients. Now, we use flagell to treat some protozoal infections and some bacterial infections. So it's broad. Not only does it kill bacteria, it also kills protozoa. We can use it for C. diff, and it's actually the drug of choice for treating C. diff infections. So what are the two drugs that we use to treat C. diff? Venco and flagell. We can also use it for anaerobic infections and GI surgery. You can also get this as a gel that you put on the face for rosacea. Do you know what rosacea is? It's like you get this like, looks kind of like a butterfly pattern on the face, like really, really red, splotchy kind of complexion. And it's caused by bacteria or protozoa, something, some kind of infection. And you use flagell to kill it. Yeah. No. Not most of the time, anyway. All right, UTIs in general. Let's talk about UTIs for just a moment, because they're one of the most common infections in the hospital. Who comes into the hospital more often, old people or young people?
Old people.
Older people. And there's some statistic like 50% of elderly who come into the hospital for some other reason also have
a UTI.
UTIs in elderly people can make them confused. So if you have a patient who's not supposed to be confused, and all of a sudden they're acting like really, and they like don't know what's going on, could be a UTI. Plus, it just stinks. Just stinks. All right. So, okay. Location. If it's in the urethra, we call it urethritis. If it's in the bladder, we call it. If it's in the kidney, we call it pyelonephritis. If it's in the prostate, we call it prostatitis. If it's in the epididymis, we call it epididymitis. If it's in the testicles, we call it what? Not testitis. What's the other word for testicles? Orchitis. Yes. Now, complicated versus uncomplicated. Complicated, there's really two basic things that have to do with complicated. One is a catheter. So if the patient has a catheter, it's considered complicated. The other is if they are immunosuppressed, have diabetes, or have had recent urinary tract surgery. Those are considered complicated. Complicated, we're not going to talk about as far as how you treat them. Urinary tract surgery. All right, so diabetes, immunosuppressed, or recent urinary tract surgery. So we're not going to talk about how you treat complicated because it just depends on the patient. But for uncomplicated, what was the drug of choice? Say again? Septra. double strength, by mouth, twice a week, or sorry, twice a day, for 3 days. Septra DS PO BID times 3 days. Other things you can use. The most, probably the next most commonly used drug after that would be Cipro. And for Cipro, it would most likely be 250 to 500 milligrams PO twice a day. And who knows how long. There's also some local drugs you can use.
What is like the ASO standard?
What is the what?
ASO standard, like stuff that...
ASO.
What does that really do for you guys?
Hey, hang on, that's what I'm about to talk about. There's another drug called macrodantin, or macrobid, because you use it twice a day. And what that does is it's an antiseptic that ends up in the bladder and inhibits bacterial growth in the bladder. Then there's also something called peridium. And peridium will turn your pee orange. And what it does is it prevents the burning that's associated with the UTI. Now, because it turns the urine orange, what do we need to do before we start them on peridium? Check the urinalysis. Because after it turns orange, you can't tell anything on the urinalysis anymore. And the azo stuff, I think, is very similar to peridium. All right. Blah, 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 blah. All right, mycobacterium. I knew we weren't going to get done today. Very sad. All right. Don't worry. We have a few more minutes left. All right, so tuberculosis. We're not going to go into a lot of detail on tuberculosis, but where does tuberculosis live in your body? No. No. It can live anywhere in your body, but where does it live specifically? It makes a home for itself in a very specific place. Or should I say a very specific cell? You're getting closer. It is a white blood cell. It's a big cell. Macrophages. So, now, the macrophage, when it eats a tuberculosis bacteria, what's it supposed to do? Kill it. But instead, they make nice. Now, how many of you know the... that's another Scrubs I should have gotten. I'll bring it in sometime. How many of you know Aesop's Fables? Are you familiar with any of them?
Yeah.
Aesop. I don't speak Greek. I don't know. There's a guy named Androcles. Well, never mind. There's a story with this little mouse, and the mouse thinks a lion is going to eat it. But instead, what happens? It has a thorn in its paw, so he pulls out the thorn, and then it eats him anyway. No. And then they become friends. Well, for some reason, the macrophage, instead of killing the tuberculosis, they become friends. And then the tuberculosis lives inside the macrophage. That's why it's so hard to kill them all, is because they're living inside of your white blood cells hiding. So in order to kill tuberculosis, we have to treat it with more than one drug now, because there's a lot of tuberculosis types out there now that are multi-drug resistant. And those are most commonly found in Asia and in Africa.
Is it a symbiotic relationship or
not? No, it's not symbiotic. Symbiotic means they can't live without one another. They're just mutualistic, which means they like each other, but they can live by themselves just fine. So anyway, these are some of the drugs that you can use. I want you to recognize these names. Isoniazid, also called INH, rifampin, ethambutol, and streptomycin. You need to recognize those drugs as being drugs that are used to treat tuberculosis. All right, now, next we have leprosy, or Hansen's disease. Now, when you read about leprosy in the Bible, guess what? That's not leprosy. The leprosy, the word leprosy in the Bible is used to describe skin diseases. Modern leprosy is not a skin disease. So now I know what you're thinking now. Well, why does he look all gnarly and stuff then? Go ahead, ask.
Why does he look all gnarly and stuff
then? Well, it's a very good question. Now, how many of you wish that you never felt pain again?
No.
That would be leprosy. So, how many of you ever stubbed your toe and you were just cussing and chopping around and then you like hit something else or like you're reaching under the cabinet, oh my God, and you just want the pain to end? Well, I remember last semester I told you that pain was purposeful. It tells you that you're hurt and you should go get help or stop hurting yourself. And I don't know if I told you the story yet, but I had a patient who had been, he had diabetes and he had neuropathy, so he couldn't feel his feet very well. And he came into my office with a tack in his foot.
Yeah.
And had been in there for 4 days. And you know how he found out about it? His wife was like, why are you bleeding on my white carpet in the bathroom? So he comes in, I mean, his foot is like gangrene, gonna lose the foot, nasty. All because he couldn't feel the pain. So leprosy, or Hansen's disease, the modern disease leprosy, what we call leprosy, is a disease that attacks the nerves. So a person becomes numb, they can't feel pain, they get an infection, they get hurt, and the next thing you know, they're losing that limb. So that's where all of those deformities come from, is from the results of infections, because they can't feel pain when they hurt themselves or get infected. SIPA? I guess. Not familiar with that term. You can email it to me. I'll look it up. Then the last one is, we don't really care. But these are all caused by mycobacteria. Different types of mycobacteria. We can cure modern leprosy, but it's kind of difficult to treat, just like tuberculosis. All right, we'll talk about antifungals next week on Tuesday.